that you will be with me.
Father, we're so thankful to be here this morning and thankful that we truly aren't alone, that you're with us every step of the way. Lord, I pray for a special anointing this morning. That we would hear your message. We would receive it, make changes, make confession, make repentance. Lord, that you would speak to each one of us individually as we have need. May we hear your voice clear and plain today, Father. I pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Well, you guys know I jump around a lot in my sermons. We're going to begin in Colossians chapter 3. The main part, though, where we're going to end up is in Jeremiah 6. Well, actually, it'll be in Daniel chapter 4, but that's going to be a ways away, Daniel chapter 4. So, but I've had some thoughts and some things really bothering me lately, and the title of the message is Pride, and the way it's going to start off, you're going to say, how's pride come out of that? And hopefully you'll see by the time we're through here. But Colossians chapter 3 verse 5 says, put to death therefore whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourself of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. So that's a pretty big list there of what we need to get out of our life, and what hopefully was our old life, and that we're no longer living in that anymore. But one of the parts that I really want to concentrate on, it says, because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You know, we don't talk about the wrath of God very often. It's not very popular idea. We want to feel good after a sermon. We want to be encouraged. We want to be lifted up. And so to talk about the wrath of God, that's not very encouraging, is it? But it says, because of these things, the wrath of God is coming. If you're sexually immoral, if you're impure, if you're full of lust, full of evil desires, full of greed. And then it goes on and says, rid yourself of all these things: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. You know, it's funny how we can look at the sexually immoral and go, oh, but I'm not living like that. But we're full of anger, we're full of rage, we're full of gossip. It doesn't bother us to cut somebody down, to talk bad about somebody, but we're not immoral in these other ways. But it says the wrath of God is coming against those who live those that way. Ephesians 5, verse 3 says, but among you there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a man is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them. There it is again, God's wrath, God's wrath. We hear so much about God's love. And God does love you, and He loves me. He loves us so much, He sent His Son to die on a cross for my sins, for your sins. But y'all, we can't deceive ourselves and think that we can have partnership with a sinful life and that be who we are, and then say, oh, but I'm good because I believe in Jesus. It says have no partnership with them. There's no place in a Christian's life for this kind of living. And it, once again, God's wrath is coming on those who live like that. So I heard something this week and it really stuck with me, and I'm not going to quote it exactly right. I wish I could, but I can't get it right in my head of how exactly the pastor said it. But I thought it was so good, and he was talking about all the celebration that's going on for pride. And they're prideful in this and prideful in that and prideful in this. And he just made the statement. He said, I wonder if they would be so full of pride and so full of boasting if they realize in what they're taking pride in and what their boasting is going to send them to hell. I thought, wow, that's really good. You know, we talk about a God of love. And that's all people want to hear. I like to hear about a God of love, don't y'all? I like to hear that how he'll, my sins are as far as it from the east is from the west. Yeah, preach that, Pete. But the reality is that there's so many people walking in disobedience and even prideful and boastful about it. And the Word of God is clear that God's wrath is coming against those who are living that lifestyle, who are living that way. Romans 1:32 says, although they knew God's righteous decrees that these who do such things deserve death, they not only continued to do these very things, but they also approved of those who practiced them. They knew, but they continued to do it, and they even approved of those who did it. And church, can I tell you something? We need to be careful of what's coming in the body of Christ. We need to be careful of what's coming in the church, that we're not approving things that the Bible preaches against. It's a hard area sometimes to say, you love the sinner but hate the sin. And there's a message in there about love and sin, and I almost preached on that this morning, but I felt like this was the direction the Holy Spirit led me in. But y'all, that says that they knew God's righteous decrees, and those who do such things deserve death, and they not only continued to do these very things, but also gave approval of them. Church, the reality is that God's wrath is someday going to be poured out. You think about, with God, a thousand years is as of a day, right? That's what the Bible says. So for us, you know, some of y'all's older than me, some of y'all's younger than me, and sometimes you look back at your life and go, man, that went quick. And sometimes it seems like when you're looking forward to a vacation or something, it seems like it's taken forever. But you think about that, so it's just been a couple thousand years since Jesus was here. That's 2 days. It's just a few days. So we don't need to look at it and go, well, is God's wrath really coming? Is what this Bible says really going to happen? And what I see happening is so many Christians are being brainwashed by the media, by the schools, and they're saying, it's okay now because God loves. It's not okay. It's not okay. We shouldn't take pride in a sinful nature, whether we're talking about sexually immoral or we're talking about gossips, whether we're talking about greed or we're talking about coarse joking, whether we're talking about foolish talk that's coming out of our mouth. You know, it's real easy to point out what everybody else is doing, but when we get down to where we're living, it has no place in us. And there's people today that's taking pride in it and approving of it, and not just outside of the church anymore. It's come into the church. Jeremiah 6:15 says, are they ashamed of their lonesome conduct? No, they have no shame at all. They do not even know how to blush. So they will fall among the fallen. They will be brought down when I punish them, says the Lord. Says that they have no shame anymore. They don't even know how to blush. And as I think about that, and I think about our world, and I think about our society, and what's out there, and what's on TV, and what we're allowing in our homes, and in our magazines, and there's no shame at all in sin anymore. It's they're prideful and who are you to tell me what to do, and you're outdated, and oh, you're just a religious fanatic. There's pride in what they're doing. They don't even know how to blush anymore. So prideful, so arrogant, so full of themselves that they can't even blush. And Proverbs 16:5 says, "The Lord detests all the proud of heart. Be sure of this, they will not go unpunished." Y'all get what I'm saying this morning? If you've looked in any stores or any television programs or anything else, all you hear about is all this pride. You have a prideful month for this and a prideful month for that and a prideful month for, and it's all about a sinful life. And they're boasting in it and giving approval of it. And if you don't give approval of it, they're censoring you. One of the guys that I listen to on the radio quite a bit, he said every video he's ever posted has all been taken off of YouTube. And he said he was being so careful with what he said to make sure that it didn't get censored, but they censored him anyway. If they don't like what you have to say, if they aren't agreeing with you 100%, you're taken off. And we're caving in. And we're censoring what we're saying, and all at once our minds are saying, "Oh, maybe it's not that bad." Then we need to be so careful. The Lord detests all of the proud of heart. Be sure of this: they will not go unpunished. Proverbs 16:18: Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. And as I'm thinking about all this, and I'm thinking, okay, so hopefully many of us are living a life of holiness and purity, and once in a while you may stumble, you may fall, but you know what? That's not the characteristic of my life. And the characteristic of my life is I'm trying to truly do what Ephesians talks about, what Colossians talks about, of ridding myself of that old way of life. That is my life. And so I'm thinking about all this, and I'm thinking, I truly hope that that's most of the church, most of the church family, is that we've rid ourselves of that, and that once in a while there may be a struggle here or there, but that's not our characteristic anymore. And so I was thinking about all this, and I was thinking about, and then the pride and the destruction, and I thought, but Lord, so many of us are going to go, well, God, I don't have a pride problem with sin. Is anybody else going to say, yeah, I don't have a pride problem with sin? If I sin, I feel bad. I don't want to brag on it. I'm embarrassed. I'm ashamed. I'm ready to repent. Is this making sense to anybody this morning? So I'm like, okay, so this message, Lord, but how's that for our church? We're not taking pride in our sin. But then I began to think, though, you know, it's easy to say, well, the people that's marching in the streets taking pride in their sin, yeah, that's not us, but how many of us do still have a problem with pride? Winning a basketball game or losing a basketball game, winning in our sports, our kids and what they do. And I was just thinking about all this, and I was thinking about an area that I struggle with pride. And I really struggle with this church because I want to be right, but like Hayden had a bunch of friends over Monday, and there's just something in me when people's coming to my house. I want it to be perfect. So we had to clean everything and make sure everything was perfect. And these are a bunch of college kids. They don't care if the house is perfect or not. Most of them, they live in dorms and it's probably filthy. But something inside of me says things have to be just right. I don't want them to see a dirty sock laying in the floor. I don't want there to be dust on the television. It's like, it's got to be perfect. Why? Pride. Right? Oh, now maybe I'm hitting where some of y'all is living a little bit, huh? We're not marching in the streets, no dust on the television, but boy, if anybody's coming to the house, we want it to be perfect. We want things to just be right. It's pride. Our cars, how we polish them and clean them up. There's a young man that hangs out with us quite a bit, and the Lord just blessed him with a newer truck. Won't go into too much details, but he's so proud of this truck. And he said to Keaton, and I don't know if I'm going to say this just right, but he asked Keaton if he thought it would be okay if he washed his truck once a week, or is that going to be? And what was the word, Keaton? Was it prideful or something like that? He doesn't want to be prideful, but he's so proud of it. It's a older truck, but it's new to him, and he's so excited about it. But he does it. He's like, if I wash this truck more than once a week, is that going to be prideful? Because he wants to be so careful. Oh, that's awesome. But how many of us, yeah, we complain about those marching in the streets and they're prideful in the immorality that they're in. But then we have a problem with pride someplace else in our life. If our kids don't get the highest grade on the test, if we don't win at whatever sport we're in, and all at once this pride and this arrogance comes up, or we want to brag on what all our kids are doing or how they're this, or brag on our job or brag on our money or brag and it's all pride. Or we want to be careful. We need to be careful even here at the church. What do you hear about from churches? Oh, we're growing. We got 3 or 4 new families coming. Some people's left the church. We're hanging in there. We're not. I don't want to talk about that. Oh, we got a new family coming. Yeah, God's doing something. We can become prideful in the church. Our children's program, our youth program, our offering, or our giving, or whatever. We can get bound up in pride in so many different things instead of just trusting that the Lord is in control. I want to go back now to Daniel chapter 4. And this will probably be familiar text to many of you. Nebuchadnezzar. And Nebuchadnezzar, remember, had a dream. And he called together all the magicians, enchanters, astrologers, diviners, and all them to say, can you interpret my dream? But none of them could. But Daniel is able to interpret his dream through the power of the Lord. And Daniel chapter 4, and let's begin about verse 20. It says, The tree you saw, which grew large and strong, with its tops touching the sky, visible to the whole earth, with its beautiful leaves and abundant fruit, providing food for all, giving shelter to the beasts of the field, and having nesting places in its branches for the birds of the air, you, O king, are that tree. You have become great and strong. Your greatness has grown until it reaches the sky, and your dominion extends to distant parts of the earth. This is a compliment, right? Look at how wonderful you are and all that you've done. You, O king, saw a messenger, a holy one, coming down from heaven and saying, cut down the tree and destroy it, but leave the stump bound with iron and bronze in the grass of the fields while its roots remain in the ground. Let him be drenched with the dew of the dew of heaven. Let him live like the wild animals until 7 pass for him. This is the interpretation, O king, and this is the decree the Most High has issued against my lord the king. You will be driven away from the people and will live with the wild animals. You will eat grass like cattle and be drenched with the dew of heaven. 7 times will pass by for you until you acknowledge that the Most High is sovereign over the kingdom of men and give them to anyone he wishes. The command to leave the stump of the tree with its roots means that your kingdom will be restored to you when you acknowledge that heaven rules. Therefore, O king, be pleased to accept my advice. Renounce your sins by doing what is right and your wickedness by being kind to the oppressed. It may be that then your prosperity will continue. He's telling them, you've grown great. You're doing all these wonderful things. Your kingdom's expanded, but it's all God. It's not you. church, it's hard. Is it hard sometimes to not be prideful and say, I'm doing this. This is all my might. This is all my strength. You know, back to church things, you know, it's hard sometimes when nobody tells you, man, that was a good sermon. It's hard sometimes when nobody says, man, that sermon met me right where I was living. And you know, but then sometimes when everybody says, man, Pete, that was so good, or Pete, this happened, or Pete, the Lord spoke to me. Boy, that's just as hard. Because it's not me. It's God. And whether He chooses to grow this church to the walls busting out, or whether we stay with just the family that we got here this morning, it's in God's hands. If we're obedient and do what He tells us to do, and that's it. No more, no less. Do what the Lord tells us to do. And allow Him to work. And then we take pride in Him, not in ourselves. But when you're being successful, when life's going good, when you have company coming and you want them to see, I almost did this, but I didn't. Mainly because I forgot about it. the last, I don't know, 3 or 4 weeks, we've been cleaning out and throwing away stuff. It's hard for me and Crystal to throw away stuff. I gotta be honest with you. We've got keepsakes, we've got memories, and we've been going through and just throwing out stuff and cleaning out, and we've got it condensed down now, and I just tell her we're saving her kids a lot of work. When we die someday, they won't have to throw out all this stuff, because we keep everything. Little outfits that Madeline was in when she was a baby, little things that Hayden had, and just, you know. So anyway, Crystal says she's got this chest, and it's got all of our trophies in it from when we were growing up. She said, throw away all those trophies. I was like, what? What? Throw away my trophies? Throw away your trophies? But those, we won! We got first place. We were all-stars, or we were this. Well, I'm not going to lie to you. Many of mine are sportsmanship. We were last place, but, you know, it's still a trophy. She's like, just throw them all away. But those represent something, and kind of a source of pride. We got people here that's going through it right now with their kids, playing sports and doing different things. And I remember the competition and the fun. And I'm thankful for my kids and playing sports throughout the years. We met many wonderful people, met Candy through that, and people that's been in and out of church throughout the years. And it's just, it was wonderful. But y'all, there's guys I work with, there's people, and they might tell me about, they won the championship this weekend. I'm happy for them. That's great. But it doesn't change my life. And you know what? There's another tournament next weekend to win a championship with, and another tournament the next weekend to win the championship. And there's always something more. But y'all, we get so caught up in those moments, in the pride and wanting to win and boast. And someday they become dusty trophies put away for someone else to throw away. Nebuchadnezzar, he was warned, renounce your sins by doing what is right, and your wickedness by being kind to the oppressed. And it may be that then your prosperity will continue. But look at what happens in verse 28. All this happened to King Nebuchadnezzar 12 months later, as the king was walking on the roof of the royal palace of Babylon. He said, is not this the great Babylon I have built? All the royal residence by my mighty power and for the glory of my majesty. You hear what he's saying? My, my, my. You say, Pete, I don't have a problem with pride, but how often are you talking about you? You listen to people long enough, and you know what their favorite subject is? Themselves or their family. It's my, my, my. and it's prideful and it's boastful. The words were still on his lips when a voice came from heaven. This is what is the decree for you, King Nebuchadnezzar. Your royal authority has been taken from you. You shall be driven away from the people and live with the wild animals, and you will eat grass like cattle. 7 times will pass by for you until you acknowledge that the Most High is sovereign over the kingdoms of men and gives them to anyone He wishes. You know what that tells me? God's in control. God's in control of my life. He's in control of your life. And are we going to submit to Him? Are we going to give glory to Him? Are we going to give honor to Him? Immediately, what had been said about Nebuchadnezzar was fulfilled. He was driven away from the people and ate grass like cattle. His body was drenched with the dew of heaven until his hair grew like the feathers of an eagle and his nails like the claws of a bird. At the end of that time, I, Nebuchadnezzar, raised my eyes towards heaven, and my sanity was restored. Then I praised the Most High. I honored and glorified Him who lives forever. His dominion is an eternal dominion. His kingdom endures from generation to generation. All the people of the earth are regarded as nothing. He does as He pleases. With the power of heaven and the people of the earth, no one can hold back His hand or say to Him, "What have you done?" At the same time that my sanity was restored, my honor and splendor were returned to me for the glory of my kingdom. My advisors and nobles sought me out, and I was restored to my throne and became even greater than before. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and exalt and glorify the King of heaven, because everything He does is right and all His ways are just. And those who walk in pride, He is able to humble. Those who walk in pride, He is able to humble. So, church, the first half of this message is a pride that we see all around us and people walking in. And do they realize it's bringing about destruction, that the wrath of God is coming? But for many of you here this morning, you say, "I'm not marching in any parades. I'm not doing any of that." But you're bound up with pride of a different kind. Pride in your home, pride in your things, pride in your bank account. And you think it's your might, your strength, your power that's done all this. And it's not. Those who walk in pride, He is able to humble. There are those that walk in that evil, boastful pride. And then there's many of us that it might not be outspoken, but it's just a pride and an arrogance about us. James 4:6 says, "But He gives us more grace." That is why Scripture said, "God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble." Verse 10 says, "Humble yourself before the Lord, and He will lift you up." Humble yourself before the Lord, and He will lift you up. I don't know about you guys, but I know my own ability, and I know my own strength. And I'll take God's any day over mine. I'll take what the Lord can do in me when I humble myself and allow Him to do it. I'll take what God's strength and God's might, instead of walking around in my yard, not on my rooftop, and going, "Look at all and how hard I've worked and all that I've done." It's easy to get caught up in that, and Satan to deceive us. But He says, "Humble yourself before the Lord and He will lift you up." Jeremiah 9:23 says, this is what the Lord says, "Let not the wise man boast of his wisdom, or the strong man boast of his strength, or the rich man boast of his riches. But let him who boasts, boast about this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who exercises kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth. For in these I delight, declares the Lord." So we don't need to be boasting in our wisdom and our strength and our might, but boasting that I know God, I know Jesus, and look what the Lord's done. Look at how He's changed. Look how He's transformed. Look at how He's blessed. Look at all that He's done. Because I'm going to tell you something, church, that there's some of you in this room this morning, and you're brilliant, and you're smart. You're way smarter than me. And there's some of you that are just like me, and you struggled in school, and you struggled in different ways, and it's just how God made us. So the person that's brilliant here this morning and prideful and saying, I'm so smart and I can do this and I have these abilities and my bank account has millions in it, and don't boast in it. It's all God. And you who struggled and fought, and maybe you might not have the big bank account, but you've made something of yourself, and it's God. It's God. All our pride should be in God. Last verse, 1 Corinthians 1:31 says, therefore, as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. God's wrath is coming. And we need to begin to pray for all these people that are blind, all these people that are lost, and all these people that, in Romans, it talks about, though they knew God's righteous decrees, they didn't follow them. And they even gave approval of those who were living in it. We need to pray that their eyes will be open. And just like Daniel told Nebuchadnezzar, repent. And maybe God will relent. Repent. And we need to be praying that these people will repent. But we need to be so careful that we're not too busy looking at all them and what they're doing wrong. And we're going astray in our own life. We're so righteous and so holy that we can become even prideful and arrogant in that and have that religious spirit. Therefore, as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. Let's stand. Father, I thank you for your word this morning. Lord, where I see a world falling apart all around me, I pray that their eyes would be open. That they would understand that your wrath is coming for all those who live disobedient to you. Father, if there's any in this room this morning right now that we've been living in disobedience and rebellion, may we repent of that. May we ask for forgiveness of it right now, confessing our sins to you, Father. May we turn from that life. Lord, maybe there's many here this morning that are saying, I'm not living in out-and-out rebellion, but I do struggle with pride. I think I'm a little better than someone else, or I'm a little more concerned about my own needs, my own desires, and my kids and all they're doing, and I'm just so full of pride and all that. And Father, we forget that everything that we have, you've given to us. Everything that we've accomplished is all because of you. May you forgive us of our pride right now, Father, and may we understand and give glory and honor to you for all that you're doing and all that you're going to do. May each of us humble ourselves and allow our lives to be a reflection of you, our lives to be used to glorify your kingdom. May your Holy Spirit do a work in each and every one of us now. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. If you need prayer for anything this morning, the altars are open. If you need just some time alone with the Lord, I'll give it to you. If you need me to pray with you, come grab my arm. I'll pray with you. And if you're good this morning and you say, Pete, I'm not really struggling with pride, I'm good, then I ask that you begin to pray for all the people that have been blinded and all the people that think that they've been empowered, that they're really just lost. Altars are open.
Blessed assurance, whispers of love.
Hope you guys have a blessed afternoon and prayer meeting 6 tonight. Remember, look up a verse on prayer. Your favorite verse, any verse, it don't matter. And we're going to share tonight, pray for each other. Men's meeting Wednesday night, 6:30. I just pray that you all will just truly seek the Lord this week. Humbly allow Him to work in your life, to transform you. Y'all have a blessed afternoon.